traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller from the International Equine Network. We're here again on Thursday afternoons at 1 o'clock. We are really enjoying this week. Everything's back to normal in the horse industry in all breeds, all disciplines, and all countries. It's kind of exciting now because we've got a lot of the shows coming up that are getting into close to getting towards championships. Usually by the 1st of May, all your show venues in the South and out West are, you know, heading towards their summer schedule and their spring schedule. And it's getting pretty exciting because it's kind of narrowing down, you know, what horses we have and where they're going and, you know, what they've done. And it's kind of exciting, especially when you get into, like, the show horse industry. There's a series of shows, and they go to 12 different countries. It's called the Longines Global Horse Tour, or Champions Tour, sorry about that. And they're really good. They have one show that's coming here to South Florida. It's a horse show, and it's literally on the beach. They won't go out to the beach in South Florida, and they install an arenas for the horses to show, and they're sitting there showing right on the ocean's edge. It's really a great time to go to. You got a lot of good hotels, and, you know, it's everything's good for the horsemen there. And, you know, those are things that you can go and see and visit with, and it's really good. We got the Kentucky Horse Park coming up. They've got a lot of summer series programs that have a lot of national champion events there all throughout the summer and into the fall. We have the World Equestrian Center in Ocala. It's amazing what they have there and what they're doing now with the things that they're bringing to the show horse industry. It's really good. We have the Winter Equestrian Festival in High Gear here in Wellington, Florida. We have the California circuit that's going on in California, which is really a great circuit to watch. There's just so many things to do in the horse industry that, you know, people don't really realize what all is going on, you know, here. And so that's what we're trying to do, is make everybody aware of what's going on and kind of give them a little bit of insight of who's doing what and you know, that type of thing. One of the things that we're looking for is we're looking for call-ins. We would like to have people call in to our shows and let us know what's going on with them in the horse industry. It doesn't matter what discipline you're in or where you're located at. Our call-in number is 323-744-4841. And just give us a call and let us know, you know, what we could do to help you, you know, answer your questions. You know, I was just talking to some people the other day, and they were talking about they're traveling, and they're buying a RV, and it's going to be a nice fifth wheel, and they're going to travel the country doing horse shows, and they're going to expand to different states now instead of just like Florida or Kentucky or New York. They're going to go out west to Parker, Colorado. They're going to go to California. They're going to kind of make it a working horse vacation type all summer long. And they're going to spend several weeks in one location, and that's why they're getting the RV. You know, that's one of the things that we hope that our listeners will call in and ask us questions. We can answer anything you need to know about your RV. We can answer anything you need to know about your horses, where they need to go. You know, you just name it, we'll answer it. And we'll get you in touch with the right people to get a hold of, to help you with your problems or any things that you might need to know about. You know, that's one of the things that we like is about the horse industry is we all have a common ground. We all have, you know, the questions, and we don't have all the answers, but we know who can get you the answers. And that's the main thing about the horse business is getting people that have the answers. And it's very difficult at times to, you know, find those people, especially when you're in the horse business. And I'll tell you why. It's because you're committed to the horses 24/7, and you have to stay on a routine. They're creatures of habit, and if you break that habit, then that can upset your training, that could upset your horse. There's just a lot of things that could happen, you know, with that. So just give us a call. Call in at 323-744-4841, and we'll answer your questions and everything. So to show you how things are getting back in full swing here, we've got some news here about some of the racetracks and the Derby doings, and we just got a lot of things that we can talk to you about here. And one of the things is the Charlestown Classic purse back up to $1 million for 2022. During the COVID and everything, some of the tracks cut their purse money, and you know it stopped a lot of people from coming because of the COVID and everything, and it was kind of a sad to see what they do. But the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races had released its 2022 live racing calendar and open stakes schedule for the coming year following an approval by the West Virginia Racing Commission at its February 22nd meeting. The calendar calls for 174 days of live racing, including Wednesday through Saturday schedule, in March, April, May, and May, as well as September through December, which racing will be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays the remainder of the year. Post time for all but one day on the Charlestown calendar is 7 p.m. So that makes it nice. You can go to work and come home and take a shower and go out to the track and at Charlestown there and have some dinner and get some good live entertainment in the horse racing. There, but that's 7 p.m. at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Charlestown's biggest day in 2022 follows up on a format started in 2020. Has subsequently produced 2 to 3 of the largest handles in Charlestown history. Charlestown presents both graded stakes, the $1 million Charlestown Classic, and the $500,000 Charlestown Oaks on the same day, August the 26th card. So the Charlestown Classic and Charlestown Oaks will be headline action on a 13-race program that gets underway with a special post time at 5 p.m. Instead of 7 p.m., they backed it down to 5 p.m. because of the stakes races they have. Run for $1 million is available in purse money in its first 11 editions. The Classic jumped back to 7 furlongs territory for the first time since 2019, with the pandemic impacting available purses both in 2020 and 2021. The Oaks received a purse increase to $500,000, matching where it stood in 2014, the first year it was run as a graded race. The three others unrestricted stake races on Classic Night undercard, the Russell Road, the Misty Bennett Pink Ribbon, and the Robert Hilton Memorial, also received hikes to $250,000. We are incredibly pleased with the results of the last two Charlestown Classic programs and look forward to ramping it up the card in August. Charles McIntosh, Charlestown Director of Racing, said the lineup of racing will be very strong, and it will be, and with its projecting, its most lucrative card in the history at Charlestown. So, you know, they're stepping up the ante there for people to come out. Charlestown's a great community to go to. You know, they're in West Virginia. Good people, good entertainment there at the casino. It's really good. The food's really great. And that's what I like to, you know, see people stepping forward, you know, to make it nicer for their clients or their customers or, you know, the people that work there. And just like I said, just about anywhere you go, you know, it's getting better. That says we're talking about Pimlico in Maryland. It says Pimlico to feature 16 stake races on Preakness weekend. So Pimlico's making a whole weekend out of it. And so, you know, that's a great place to go. Baltimore is a good area, a lot of good seafood, a lot of things to do in the Baltimore area. You know, not only horse racing, but there's other things to do so you can make a good weekend out of it. Highlighted by the 147th running of the Preakness Stakes for three-year-olds, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Maryland Jockey Club will present 16 stakes, 10 graded, worth $3.8 million in purses over the Preakness weekend, May 20th and 21st. It's a historical Pimlico race course. The Preakness meet at Pimlico is scheduled to open May 12th and run through Tuesday, May 31st. It's an abbreviated meet there for them this year. They're working some things out and trying to do some different things, remodeling, things like that. So it's going to be getting better there. But the history of dates back to 1873, making it the second oldest of the Triple Crown races. The $1.5 million Preakness going a mile and 3/16 anchors a program of 10 stakes races, six graded worth $2.75 million on Saturday, May 20th. You know, it's a they're just putting the money in there, and they're getting the best horses in the country there to, you know, to see what's going on there at Pimlico. Other graded stakes are the $200,000 Chick Lang Stakes for three-year-olds running six furlongs, the $150,000 Gallarette Stakes, grade three for fillies and mares, going a mile and the 16th on the grass, $150,000 Maryland Sprint Stakes, at six furlongs for three-year-olds and up, and $100,000 Arabian Derby for Arabian four-year-olds and up going a mile and a 16th. And what's really great about that is the Arabians, they have one steady speed. And it's not like all the other races, but it's really interesting to see. And that's worth just going out to see that day in itself, you know, there at Pimlico. Sophomores will also be in the Preakness Day spotlight in both the $100,000 Sir Barton Stakes going a mile and a 16th on the dirt and $100,000 J.W. Murphy Stakes going 1 mile on the grass. Rounding out the stakes are the $100,000 Jim McKay's Turf Sprint Race, the five furlong dash for three-year-olds and up, and the $100,000 Skip Pat Stakes for females, three-year-olds and up, sprinting six furlongs. That's a great race day there. Every time you pick up your program and look at the quality stake races for horses from all over the country, which is really, really unusual to see, you know, to have that many quality horses all in one spot at one time. The 98th running of the $250,000 Black Eyed Susan Stakes, one of the premier events in the country for three-year-old fillies and contested at a mile and eighth, will once again be their traditional spot as the feature on Friday, May 20th. On the Preakness Eve card, which boasts six stake races, four graded, worth $1.5 million. Also on the program at the historic $300,000 track is the $300,000 Pimlico Stakes for three-year-olds and up at the Preakness distance of a mile and 3/16. In which I was very lucky. I worked with Farmaway that set the track record there quite a few years ago. And that was an enjoyable day, the Pimlico Special. It's an exciting race. And you see horses from all over the country that come over for that. It's really nice. You know, the $150,000 Miss Preakness Stakes for three-year-old fillies running six furlongs, the $150,000 Allier DuPont Stakes for fillies, three mares, three-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth. two grass races, round out the Black-Eyed Susan Day card, the $100,000 Hilltop Stakes for three-year-olds, fillies going a mile, and $100,000 Very One Stakes going five furlongs for filly and mare, three-year-olds and up. So it goes to show you again that every track will have its own special week or, you know, series of races in the spring or the fall or in the summer. And it makes for a great weekend to go out and take part in the festivities and no telling what you might see, you know, there in the Baltimore area, you know, when you go to Preakness Week, like you do for the Kentucky Derby, for the Derby Festival, you know, and the Florida Derby's coming up here soon. They've got a great weekend planned for them. So it's really, really a good place to, you know, to go out and see, you know, horse racing and horse shows and that type of thing. Now we're going to get into something that we want to get out and let people know about our horse industry. A lot of times you see some things that and hear some things in the news, and unfortunately you just hear just a few minutes of it. And one of the things that we'll get into next week after some more information is taken in and some court cases are finalized. The horse industry for a long time has always been subject to criticism. And the criticism that they get is that races are fixed. And it's natural, you know, for that to happen. And the reason that a lot of times that you hear that criticism of races being fixed are the fact that a lot of the people that bring forth these allegations are people that have lost a considerable amount of money, or, you know, their horse didn't win and he should have won. And, you know, you hear all these things that come up. And very rarely over the years have, you know, these allegations been, you know, charged to trainers or jockeys or owners. You know, it's just something that was just kind of, you know, the part of racing. And it wasn't taken real serious because, like I said, again, it was people were saying that, you know, oh, that horse, you know, that race was fixed. My horse didn't win. You know, and you bet a lot of money on it. You know, naturally, you're kind of angry that you lose your money and everything. And so that was the stereotype of the industries, harness racing and, you know, the thoroughbreds in it. So here over the last, I'd say 10 to 12 years, a lot of programs have been implemented by the state racing commissions to get everything in order, get clean house, to get it all in order. And so now, as of the 22nd of this month, one of the articles that came out in the Blood Horse magazine, it was called Government Claims Harness PED Case Involves 30 Tracks. The government charges a lengthy list of victims and jurisdictions of alleged criminal activity by five people indicted in the New York federal courts for conspiracy to adulterate and misbrand performance-enhancing drugs used in harness racing. The indictment, which has been superseded four times, lists one count each against Dr. Louis Grosso, a veterinarian, Donato Policino, owner of Delaware Veterinary Supply Business, and harness trainees Rene Allard, Richard Banca, and Thomas Goodio, the third. And I might be a little wrong on those things, which I know I am, but I'm sorry for that, you know, to do that. It says, while recently denying a motion to dismiss the indictment, U.S. District Judge P. Kevin Castile ordered government prosecutors to provide defense counsel a bill of particulars. The scope of the particulars released on Monday by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York, it covers a wide swath. Among victims named as objects of the conspiracy and the particulars are the betting public, the Food and Drug Administration, Drug Enforcement Agency, U.S. Customs, Border Protection, Canada Border Service Agencies, and the United States Trotting Association or Agency. It says from there, the documents list as victims 30 racetracks from the following: Batavia Downs to Harris, Philadelphia to Northfield Park, Red Mile, Tiago Downs, Yonkers Raceway, and all points between 19 state and provincial racing and or gaming commissions located in Ontario, two of them. The Atlantic provinces of Canada, Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Virginia. So this was an organization that was mislabeling and doing distribution of drugs that were not allowed by the different jurisdictions, racing commissions, and you're talking about a lot of states and a lot of people, and this is something that just doesn't get taken care of just in a few short months. This has been years in the making for these investigators to do their due diligence and make sure that, you know, that when they do bring a case, that it's solid and it's, you know, an open and shut book, pretty much. That's what they're trying to do now. And this is and this was in the harness racing aspect of it. And not just saying just harness racing, but it also spills over into to the thoroughbred tracks and to the show horse industry, to a certain extent, maybe not that heavy, but it still does. And, you know, I was just trying to say the other day, how great it is to have something like this come out. And for many months, they're going to talk bad about the industry, but at least it's showing the public that we're cleaning up the industry and we're not going to tolerate anything, and there's going to be zero tolerance, in this whole situation. The particulars also show victims 40 pharmacies in Alabama, Connecticut, Idaho, Illinois, Kentucky, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Texas as places where they attempted and intended to place or cause to be placed prescriptions related to their alleged activities. So in other words, the company that was doing the misbranding and mislabeling of the medications to help horses, win races, it went all over the country. There's nobody there, no states that weren't touched by it. In addition, 51 enforcement and regulatory agencies in the races in the areas of veterinary and public health and pharmacy practices are victims. According to the particulars, lawyer talk when you say particulars in there. But it just goes to show you how thorough they are in making sure the wording's right so that when they do go to court, it'll be an open and shut case, with them. So the victims, according to the particulars, they were located in Delaware, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. According to the court records, it's alleged that Grosso, while licensed in New Jersey and New York, wrote prescriptions for thousands of units of PEDs, and that he, from at least 2017 to 2022 or 2020, wrote prescriptions and manufactured and distributed customized PEDs and supplied them to trainers across the United States. So in other words, this was a highly organized, situation to where these illegal drugs were given out. It was just amazing how how organized and how efficient they were, you know, to do what they were doing. You know, I for one, you know, am all for policing and rules and regulations, especially, you know, in the horse industry. You know, that's one of my big things is there's rules to go by. And if you go by them, then you can give a clean, decent sport, you know, to the public. And when you do that, then it makes you good for longevity and success of your industry. The other thing that we'll talk about next week, and like I said, we're waiting for court cases to become official that are going on last week and this week, and that the verdicts, you know, are all in, and who's going to appeal and that type of thing. But it involved Bob Baffert with Medina Springs that won last year's Derby. The courts just last week just ruled that Medina Springs did have illegal drugs in its system, and that the Derby was taken away from him, and the second place horse was Maudlin was put up to winning the Kentucky Derby. And what's happened, unfortunately, is we get people that get so obsessed, or, you know, get such in a routine that I don't want to say they think that they're untouchable, but they're willing to take the risk. And when you go into the Kentucky Derby, you have to make sure that everything is up above board, on the up and up, and it's the highest quality, and everybody follows all the rules and regulations. Because what that did is that tarnished a tradition that has long been standing for over 100 years in racing and in our country, and it's a way of life for a lot of people. And when you have people that come in that disrespect the rules and they don't go by the rules, and think that possibly, not saying that they did, but that they are untouchable, is very concerning for me and all the horsemen in the industry, and especially when it comes down to the Kentucky Derby. And the only reason I'm saying especially when it comes down to the Kentucky Derby, it's no more important than the regular claiming race at a smaller track, and the guy does the same thing. It's breaking the law. You know, it's breaking the rules, and that's what's the bad part about it is. And then when you get into something like the Kentucky Derby, that's internationally known, and people, you know, see that. And again, when they see these accusations that are being made, they just see a small part of it. The viewing public does, or the people that see it in the media, they just see a small part of it. A lot of people don't go and read the whole articles. They don't quite understand, you know, how that got there. But it's not like that these things are just one time with these trainers. There's multiple violations that have been committed. And now that they're going back in and checking out to see, you know, where these violations were at, when they happened and what happened, you know, was one of those things. Now, Bob Baffert is a tremendous trainer. He's a great trainer. He's trained, you know, 5-6 Derby winners, Triple Crown winners. You know, he did the whole thing. He had the chance to go on record as being the greatest trainer of all times. The greatest trainer of all times. You know, and when you're in the horse business like we are, and especially like, you know, when you're talking about the Derby, that's a chance of a lifetime to run in the Derby, and a lifetime of chance, you know, and you work hard to get there. You go through all the prep races. You go through all the different things that it takes to get to the Kentucky Derby. And up until that horse goes into the gate, you have to do everything right. You got to be right on top of it. You sit back and you sit down in your chair waiting for him to load in that gate, and you're thinking, what did I do that I could have done better? You all were second-guessing yourself, saying, should I have gone to this race or that race? Should have we changed shoes yesterday, or should we have changed them, you know, a week ago? There's so many things that you do that you want to make sure that's right so that you have the best opportunity to win that race. And when you have trainers that are coming in that are medicating horses to get that extra edge, trying to win, then that victory is a hollow victory. And I've been around horses and worked with horses that have won Kentucky Derbies, and it's just a tremendous feeling. Every year at Derby time, it's a memories that you feel. It's the things that you did. And like we said here, you know, at International Equine Network, it's a journey. It's a journey that gets you there. And I guarantee you, and I know, and I've experienced this, you talk more about the journey that got you to the Kentucky Derby than the actual win of the Kentucky Derby, because those are memories that can never be taken away from you. And, you know, and just to run in the Derby is winning it. But to win it, it's even greater. It's something that, you know, you'll just never forget the journey or the win or the loss and everything. But when you have the opportunity to win multiple Kentucky Derbies, and then you come back and you get in a situation to where, you know, you've broken the rules, and, you know, they're taken away from you. You know, Medina Spirit, unfortunately, died of a heart attack this year. And so that's what it appeared to be, was a heart attack. But he passed away. And so, you know, he'll never go on to be a stallion or, you know, race again or anything like that. So the whole process involved is historical. It's memories, good and bad. They get you to where you're going, you know, in the horse business. But here recently, in the last few years, in the standardbred and the thoroughbred industry and in the show horse industry, this medication thing and training practices and things that they're doing have just gone outside the box. You know, they're doing things to horses that, you know, that are just, you know, unbelievable. And so that's why I'm glad that the racing commissions and the investigators have stepped up, and they've taken a long time to do this. This isn't something that just came up over the last, you know, year or two. They've been investigating these races and these allegations for, you know, 10 years, you know, because they want to make sure that it's solid. They want to know how they did it. They want to know who is involved with it. You know, you're talking about, they've gone down to the trainers and to the grooms and to the hot walkers. You know, they're trying to find out how this, you know, contraband is getting around to the tracks and how they're being used and who's using it, you know, that type of thing. And it's all now it's all in the blame game on the people that got caught. You know, oh, well, so-and-so did this, you know, or my groom did that, or the horse picked it up in some feed, or, you know, it's just these crazy, crazy excuses, you know. And when it all comes down to it, you know, the blood tests and urine tests that are taken from these horses that compete prove it all out, you know. And then once they find out that they've violated those regulations and everything, then you backtrack it. How did that get into the system? And when you start backtracking, you wouldn't believe the stories that come up with, oh, well, you know, somebody came in my barn during the night and did it. Well, where's your night watchman at? You know, somebody's got it in for me, and they're doping my horses. You know, you hear every kind of excuse. They picked it up in feed. It was in the stall, you know, from the previous horse. And, you know, you see all these things that happen, and they start pointing fingers at everybody. And, you know, it's just kind of sad, but desperate people do desperate things. And when they get caught, they're desperate. And when the allegations start coming out and the information starts coming out, they really get desperate then. And they'll blame any and everybody, you know, to get that away from them. But again, it tarnishes your image. And once you get known as doping horses or breaking rules and regulations and cheating, it never leaves you. It never leaves you. You'll be remembered more for what you did to the horse to get them there than actually winning that race, because that race is just tarnished. and it's an and it's a hollow victory because it's taken away from you, and the world knows it. And the world, when the world knows what's happening in the business like this, then it gives the racing industry and the show horse industry, it gives them a new look. People, you know, say, well, hey, maybe they're on top of these things. And, you know, I can go out and I can see some racing and see some horse shows and know that these horses are training at their very best and they're not medicated and you know, that and that it's going good for them. And that's about all I got to say, you know, for what's going on now in the industry, because every week, every day, something new's coming out, and they're having talking about countersuits, and they're talking about appeals, and they're talking about all these different things, you know. And when millions of dollars are at stake, you know, it's a dragged out situation. But thank goodness that our industry has realized and recognized what's going on in the business, and they are finding out, you know, why. They're finding out how. You know, they're finding out who. And so when you get all those things together and you conclude that this is what happened, you know, then you can apply sanctions. You can apply all the different things that you need to do. Now, in the case of Bob Baffert, he can't run any horses in the Derby this year or next year. He'll be 2024 that he can reapply for licenses in Kentucky, and I believe it's New York that they can do that in, and everything. And the horses, and he's got a great group of horses this year, like he does every year. You know, and he probably has the Derby winner in his barn. And so now the owners have to find another trainer to train their horses, because they have Derby points and we're close to the Derby. And, you know, you can't, you know, you can't go up to the owner and say, well, you know, sorry, you can't run in the Derby because of what I did. You know, the best thing to do is just to go up and say, hey, look, this is what happened. I'm sorry that it happened, you know, to the owners, and try to save a little face, and recommend, you know, or have the owner send them to another trainer. And then hopefully, that trainer can pick up where Bob left off and, you know, get them to the Derby. And that's one of the things that, you know, I want to see happen for these. These are some great horses. You know, the horses have nothing to do with it. you know, they're just the victim. You know, they deserve a shot at you know, at obtaining equine greatness. And hopefully they'll get them with a trainer that can do that. And everything. So, but that's it for me on the illegalities and the practices of the training of horses and everything. I used to train horses back in the day, and I tell you what, I couldn't train a horse to a rat to eat cheese. I just couldn't get them there. I could get them to seconds and thirds, but never could get them to win. You know, so it just wasn't in my you know, forte to do that and everything. And so when I realized that, instead of cheating and doing drugs to get horses there, I took my equine endeavors into another direction. And it worked out good for me, but at least I left, you know, the training aspect of it with dignity and with pride and the things that you're supposed to do, I did right. And unfortunately, I just didn't get to the finish line like some people do. But I really enjoy what I do now, and it's great. And I'm a happy camper, as they say, in my Keystone Montana trailers. We have a thing that I'm involved in. It's called MyRacehorse.com. And it's really a great thing. It's how people can get involved in the horse business. And you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can go to MyRacehorse.com and take a look at what the offerings that they have. And what they do is they do syndications on horses. And it's amazing what they do. You go in and you buy into a syndication for very little, and then you're an owner. And you can go down to the track and you can watch your horse run. You can go to the races. You can get in the wind picture.
You take the backside tour. You can go to the barn and see your horse train. There's just so many things that you can do, with that. And one of the things that I like about myracehorse.com is the things that they offer. They offer the novice all kinds of things to do. And if you want to be a big shot for the afternoon, join myracehorse.com, and you can do that. As a matter of fact, it's the last chance to join myracehorse.com on Big Cup Day or Big Cap Day at Santa Anita, March the 5th. And it's going to be a really great day there. MyRacehorse.com does a lot of good things, for their clients, and they're good for the business. It's a whole new style. Nobody around is like MyRacehorse.com, and they're very successful at what they do. Last chance to join MyRacehorse.com for a huge day racing coast-to-coast with 15 total stake races featured across Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, headlined by two Kentucky Derby prep races, the San Felipe and the Fountain of Youth. With six of the 15 races featured on TV, on CNBC and TVG coverage all day, it's a day of racing calendar you will simply cannot miss. A big day of racing wouldn't be complete without MyRacehorse.com runners. Join us in cheering on Forbidden Kingdom in the Grade 2 San Felipe, and going to Vegas in the Grade 2 Buena Vista at Santa Anita Park on Saturday. Now, see, for very little, you could have got into the syndication there. And if you go to their website, MyRacehorse.com, you can look at the offerings that they have and see how much it costs to get into them. And let me tell you, for very little, you could be a part of this huge day at Santa Anita Park. And you could go out there and rub elbows with all the owners. You might only just own a little bit of them, but it's just like you owned a whole horse. MyRacehorse.com is just really good at what they do. Very classy operation, and they do things upright. Enjoy the day in the exclusive 100-to-1 Club, a beautiful space that combines panoramic views of the entire racetrack with sophisticated lounge-style seating, live tellers, and a private bar. Perched three floors above the Santa Anita's fabled first turn, the 100-to-1 Club puts you right on top of the action, provides a stunning view of the races run below you at 40 miles per hour. We're planning a full schedule of activities, including fashion contests, autographed items for raffle prizes, meet and greets with trainers, a buffet lunch, afternoon snacks, and a cash bar. Valet parking is also available. Tickets are available now for $170 per person, non-refundable, on a first-come, first-served basis. Limited tickets remain. Act now to secure your tickets. We look forward to seeing you Saturday on the March the 5th at Santa Anita Park. And let me tell you something. You talk about being big in the game. You want to impress your friends and your family? You just go down there and you take them down there for that Saturday down there. And that's a good price there. That's a real good price, to go out and enjoy a day at the races at Santa Anita Park. And MyRacehorse.com, they have get-togethers like this at all the tracks wherever they race at when they have a horse racing. And it's really nice to go down and spend the day as an owner, at the track and go to the clubhouses and go to the food and venues and go to the parties and everything. And it's really good. It's really good to do. So I was excited about that to see happen. They've got them, like I said, at every racetrack. And then Spendthrift Farm and MyRacehorse.com debuted Fold Derby for Authentic. And this is really a unique kind of program that Spendthrift Farm and MyRacehorse.com have launched, a weekly fold contest on social media called hashtag Fold Derby, F-O-A-L-D-E-R-B-Y, which will showcase folds from the first crop of the horse of the year authentic, which my racehorse.com has. This begins this week and will run weekly leading up to this year's Kentucky Derby on May 7th. Breeders are encouraged to submit photos each week of their foals as they arrive and continue to submit as they grow over the course of the next 10 weeks. Weekly photos are due by the end of each day on Wednesday for voting through Thursday. Submissions will be posted on to Spendthrift's Twitter and Facebook platforms, where fans will be asked to like, retweet, and share their favorite foals. The top two foals by fan engagements each week will earn berths into the Foal Derby, which will include 20 total entries, just like the Kentucky Derby itself. It's like a full starting gate at the Kentucky Derby, but only for foals. It's upon the actual 2022 Kentucky Derby draw slated on Tuesday, May 3rd. The Foal Derby draw will occur, and each of the 20 foals will be assigned to a real Kentucky Derby entrant. So in other words, if you and your Foal Derby, if you get the number four horse, then you will be assigned to the number four horse in the Kentucky Derby. It's a Spendthrift is offering grand prizes to breeders of these three foals associated with the first, second, and third place finishers in this year's Kentucky Derby. The winning breeder will get $20,000 to put towards a season two authentic in 2023, and the runner-up and third-place finishers will get $10,000 and $5,000, respectively, towards a season two authentic in 2023. Spendthrift will also match the same amount for all three to donate an accredited thoroughbred aftercare charity, and those breeders' names totaling $35,000. So every which way you go here, you know, this is benefiting the industry and making it more interesting and lucrative for people to get into the business, you know, for relatively small amounts of money, you know, to get it, to participate in things like this. This is Foal Derby will offer weekly prizes for both breeders and voters. Spendthrift will be awarding 10 weekly breeders authentic apparel, and MyRacehorse.com will be doing the same for their voters. So in other words, Spendthrift Farm, you'll be getting memorabilia, you'll be getting shirts, hats, or, you know, all kinds of things that they'll be, you know, awarding to everybody. And giving away an official 2020 Breeders' Cup Owner's Cap along with MyRacehorse.com gift cards every week. So, you know, I mean, that's really going to be a great thing, you know, for them to get, you know, just by participating in this program. Sign up for this project at the Blood Horse Daily. You can do that. It's just amazing. There is a significant interest surrounding Authentic's first foals, which you would generally expect from a horse of the year with his pedigree. Authentic is unique in that that there is anticipation among the breeding community, and his 5,300 micro share owners and fans. Now, this is a horse that's done it all in the business. Can't get any better horse than this. And if you go to MyRacehorse.com, you've got the opportunity to get involved and own a piece of a horse. And Authentic has 5,300 micro-share owners and fans. That's amazing. How many people, you know, there's a good chance you'd be walking down the street. You might be able to talk to somebody that says, hey, I own Authentic. Well, you know, a little piece of it. And I own a horse in MyRacehorse.com. It's probably the last 2 inches of the tail, the last thing to come across the finish line. But nevertheless, I'm an owner just like the guy that owns the front half of him. You know, so that's what I like about these programs, projects that they have. We wanted to be able to celebrate him with my racehorse during this year's run up to the Kentucky Derby in a way that would engage and benefit everyone. We look forward to seeing the foals. Michael Burns of My Racehorse said, the joy Authentic Foals have brought to my racehorse community is incredible, and the buzz of social media among his fans has been electric. We're thrilled to be a partner with Spencer Farm to bring authentic owners and fans and breeders together to an innovative way to celebrate our champion. So, you know, that's another thing outside of the box that that everybody's looking at, you know, to develop and try to get business into the, you know, to the business. And let me tell you something. Hey, for you guys out there that are really like the horse racing business, you know, if you want to get your girlfriend a great present, you go to myracehorse.com, look on the offerings that they have, buy a share and give it to your girlfriend for, you know, a birthday present, you know, a Valentine's Day present, a Christmas gift and everything. And the great thing about it is once you buy that share, there's no bills to it. You just go out and enjoy watching the horse run and follow him as he starts on his journey to the Kentucky Derby. And they got a lot of good two-year-olds in there this year that'll be on that journey to the Kentucky Derby. You might have another authentic in there. And everything. So that's what, you know, one of the things that they do here to get people into the business. And it's all a good thing. It's fun. You know, you can enjoy it. And no matter what horse track your horse runs in, if you live in Florida and you got one running, a horse that you have a share in running in California, you can hop on a plane, go out and watch your horse run that weekend. You know, that's the great thing about that, or New York or Kentucky or, you know, you might have a share in a horse that's running Derby week up at Churchill, and that gives you even more reason to go up to Churchill as an owner, you know, instead of just a fan, but as an owner and everything. So that's really good. But speaking of the Derby and everything, we got a lot of good things coming up here soon for the Derby. We have the Rebel Stakes is coming up here Saturday the 26th at Oaklawn. It's our journey to the Kentucky Derby. We have a listed race coming up. It's called the Patton. It's at Dundalk on March the 4th. We have the John Battaglia Memorial at Turfway Park on March the 5th. We have the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream Park on March the 5th. We have the Gotham Stakes at Aqueduct on March the 5th. We have San Felipe at Santa Anita Park on March the 5th. Then we have the Road to the Kentucky Derby Condition Stakes at Kempton Park in Europe. Then March the 12th, we have the Tampa Bay Derby, and that kind of gets us through the next couple of weeks that's going to be here. So it's coming up quick, and we're following all these horses that are going to be, you know, going to the Derby. And especially this weekend, you know, you can watch it on TVG. You can watch it on Racing Across America's Day at the Races. You can watch it on intv.org. It's the Rebel Stakes. It's the 11th race. Post time is 5:22 Central Time, which means East Coast time. You're right at the 6:30 mark there. It's the $1 million race. It's the Rebel Stakes, a grade two. For three-year-olds by subscription. It's $1 million race, and it's a prep race for the Kentucky Derby that you'll see that's coming up here, crucial race. And again, like we talked to before about a lot of the horses that ran in earlier races during the year that were light fields that were five or six, you know, horse fields, eight horse fields. Again, we come out here and we've got a, you know, 11 horse field here at the Rebel Stakes, and that'll be coming up from Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And that's the only Derby prep race that we have this week. And let me tell you, this race is going to be interesting because they got a Bob Baffert horse in there that's the favorite. And this is a horse that's going to have to go to another trainer if he wants to run in the Derby. So, but for the Rebel Stakes that we have here, Bob Baffert is listed as the trainer, but, you know, next week we'll kind of update you on some of his horses, where they might be going and, you know, how, and the journey that they're going to have to take, you know, to get to the Kentucky Derby or not get to the Kentucky Derby. And but that's a new Grange, and that horse can flat out run. I mean, Bob has done a great job with him. He's a good horse. You know, he's going to be tough. And this kind of horse that could just take it wire to wire here. He's going to be interesting to see. Another horse that I kind of like, but he's kind of off and on. His name is Ben Diesel. Ben Diesel is trained by Dallas Stewart. He's a real nice horse. I don't know if he's that caliber yet, but he could be. He's developing every week as goes by. He's getting better and better. And he might be going to school, or he might be teaching these horses how to run. I think in this race he's going to go to school, and I think he's going to learn a lot, and I think he's going to come around, you know, maybe for the Arkansas Derby or the Louisiana Derby or, you know, maybe even the Florida Derby. We'll see how he comes out of the race. Then, you know, some of these horses you look at and you say, gee whiz, I don't know what it is like about this horse, but the nine horse that's trained by Ortiz, Barber Road. That sounds like a racehorse to me. You know, I said, I'm going to name a horse, and I'm going to name a horse after me. And, they won't be winners, but at least they'll have a name. But that Barber Road, and you know, that's sad. As much as I know about this business and everything, and what I like about that horse more than anything is his name. And I said, that's kind of sad. I'm supposed to be giving people educated guesses and, you know, using all my experience in the business and what can I say about this? And I like it, Barber Road. So we're going to stay tuned next week and we'll give you a full report on how Barber Road ran Saturday. So that'll be good. But, you know, that's our big races that are coming up this weekend. You know, on the road to the Kentucky Derby, just the one this weekend. You know, next weekend we got, like I said, you know, we're going to have about five or six races coming up over the next week or so. And we'll see what happens here. And then just a real quick closer here that we'll give you here is the rankings of the horses, and I'll give you the first top five. Epic Center has trained by Steve Asmussen, ridden by Joel Rosario. He's got 64 points leading into the Kentucky Derby. The number two horse is Smile Happy by trainer Kenny McPeak, Corey Landry in the irons. He has got 30 points that we have there. We have Classic Causeway, trained by Brian Lynch. He's got 16 points, ridden by our Red Ortiz. We have Papa Cap. He's at number four, trained by Mark Cassie, Tyler Gaffleone in the irons. And then we have a new one that jumped up there for Chad Brown, which is Zandon. He's got 14 points and Jose Ortiz in the irons. He had a third in the Grade 2 Risen Star on February 19th, and he was closing and really looked good. So that was kind of our rambling show, our journey on the journey to wherever we're going in this horse business. Get out and see an equestrian event in your area. Nobody called in today for us, so I'm disappointed in my four listeners that didn't call in. So, you know, that's where we're at. We're going to be on the journey every Thursday at 1 o'clock on the International Equine Report. We thank all the crew at BBS Radio for helping us get things done. I thank all my friends and family that have helped me get over the last year or so through the medical situations that I had. And the journey's looking good. We're seeing where we're going to be at next week. Join us next week at 1 o'clock on BBS Radio or IENTV.org for the International Equine Report.